What difference does the true name make? Chapter 9. John 17 verse 6 says, the Messiah speaking, Yahusha is speaking, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And in verse 26, that's John 17, 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I have declared thy name. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Greetings, friends. Hallel Yava. Shalom. I'm Stefan Yah, reading here from the article, What Difference Does the True Name Make? An article written by Davis Northnagel of the Bible Study Association, formerly of Eugene, Oregon. Studying about the true name, in our last broadcast of Chapter 8, we had the title there, What About the Name Jesus? And now and then, that name pops up here amongst this study by Davis. And I thank him for writing this and giving me permission to air this on the YahvahYahweh.name website. So how about a New Testament witness, or I could title this file, how about the New Testament witness? I could title it, What Does the Scripture Say in the Newer Scriptures, in the Brit Kadashah, about the Father's name and the Son's. And I'll begin reading the article now, Chapter 9. It has been said by some opponents of the use of the name Yahweh that our Savior never uttered his name. Indeed, they claim that he could not have uttered his name, else he would have been called a blasphemer. Oh, we're going to get to that issue there. And it would be important if we could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Yahusha the Savior never used the name Yahweh, or better, that he did use the name of Yahweh. However, we are forced to rely on two witnesses we've been given. The first is the much circumstantial evidence that Yahusha the Messiah had to have used it, as we will show. Secondly, that of Yah's spirit, or Yahusha's spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, which by the Spirit we are assured will guide us into truth if we ask in faith, believing. The Spirit will guide us. And the first witness again is the circumstantial evidence that Yahusha had to have used it. And we read there in John 17 already. I've already given the gist of the study right there. We'll present the evidence we feel is clear as honestly as we're able. We'll only ask each individually considering it, beseeching Yahweh's Spirit for guidance. Regarding the birth of John, or Yochanan, John the Baptist, or Johann, in Luke chapter 1, in Greek, his name was Zacharias, and we'll figure out why the S, but his name should be Zechariah, or Zachariah. So Zechariah was a devout priest. While performing his duties in the temple, he was confronted by a messenger, Gabriel. Let's read the account in Luke, starting in 1:5. We see Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were called righteous before Yahweh. They were quite old and childless. Luke 1:11, there appeared unto him the messenger of Yahweh, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the messenger said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John, or Yochanan, or Johann, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of Yahweh, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Ruach HaKadosh, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to Yahweh, their mighty one. And in most versions, it says, And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, their mighty one. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Eliah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh. That was from Luke chapter 1. And also I wanted to remind you that the recording time of this broadcast is going to run a good half an hour anyway, and we're 5 minutes in. So we read Luke 1, an account preserved for us today. What did Zechariah hear? Did Gabriel use the word L-O-R-D for fear of the Jews, the English word Lord, or did he use the word Lord for fear of the Jews, or because he would be afraid of blasphemy? I don't think so. He certainly knew who had sent him by name. Or would he believe that he would have used Adonai, the corrupt Hebrew word for master that was substituted for the true name, Yahweh, by the Jews? Would he have used Adonai, the corrupt Hebrew word for master, substituted for the true name, Yahweh? And was the substitution done by the Jewish scribes? Or perhaps some would have us think that he used Kurios or Theos, both Greek words for master and God, the English word God, and used in the Greek text we now have. And did he prophesy that Yochanan would make ready a people prepared for the Lord, or for Kurios? Or did Zechariah hear that John would make ready a people prepared for Yahweh? That prophecy is fulfillment of Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 40, verse 3, where Yahweh was used in the Hebrew text, Malachi 3:1. It would be difficult to honestly believe that Gabriel would not use Yahweh's name. Thus, it would seem evident that Zechariah heard the name Yahweh from Gabriel, if he did not already know it. Still, it is not proof it is, and we want most of all to be honest, don't we? We have another appearance of Gabriel in Luke 1:28 that's recorded for us, where he was sent to the Virgin Miriam. And let's look at this. Listen to Luke 1:28. And the messenger came unto her and said, Hail, highly favored, Yahweh is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the messenger said unto her, Fear not, Miriam, for thou hast found favor with the Almighty. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahusha. As we've corrected the name there, as far as we know now, the Messiah's name, shall call his name Yahusha. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Yahweh Almighty. Yahweh Almighty shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Again, that was from Luke chapter 1. And we finish there at verse 33. Are we to believe again that Miriam heard the Greek Kurios, or the Hebrew substitute Adonai, or even the English L-O-R-D? Hardly. She surely heard Gabriel refer to Yahweh by name, Yahweh, just as she must have heard her Hebrew son's name. Thus she too must have known the true name, if indeed she had not known it already. And she didn't hear her Hebrew son's name of in English as J-E-S-U-S. We're not to hide his name, but we're to proclaim it, we're to publish his name. Tells us that in many times, so for example, in the book of Psalms. And what are we to believe Miriam said to Gabriel in Luke 1:38? Did she not say, Behold, the handmaid of Yahweh? Already in one chapter, we have seen what clearly appears to have been a clouding or hiding of the true names, but that's not all. So let's continue. Miriam now travels to visit with her cousin Elizabeth, now who is 6 months pregnant with John. In Luke 1:41, we see that upon hearing Miriam's salutation, Elizabeth experiences the baby's movements and is filled with the Yahweh spirit, with the Ruach HaKadosh, and then follows a salutation similar to Gabriel's, and why not, for the same spirit is leading them both. Miriam responds with an exclamation, "My soul does magnify Yahweh, and my spirit has rejoiced in Yahweh, my Savior." Miriam says that, the one that the RCC says that she's higher than God up in the heaven. But she calls her son, "My Savior, my soul does magnify Yahweh, and my spirit has rejoiced in Yahweh, my Savior." The very meaning of the word, the Hebrew word Yahusha, for the Messiah, Yahweh, my Savior. Could she have said anything else? Can we really believe that she, moved by Yahweh's spirit, said the Lord or Adonai after hearing so clearly Gabriel's prophecy? And can we think that she, the Mighty One, or can we believe that she said the Mighty One, Yahusha, Hebrew for Yahweh, our Savior? Or did she use theos, the Greek word? Well, still, it is not proof, is it? But it is proven that the names, at least some of them, were changed. The following incomplete list proves this clearly, as we have seen by comparing the numbers in Strong's Concordance. For Kyrios, the Greek word, the Greek number, we have Kyrios, Theos, Mary, Jesus, Zechariah, and Eliah. So Kyrios is Greek 2962 for Yahweh. Yahweh 3068, that's Hebrew 3068, or Hebrew 430. Theos is Greek 2316 for the Mighty One. In Hebrew, it's Hebrew number 430 in the Strong's Concordance, or Yahweh, Hebrew 3068. Mary is Greek 3137 for Miriam. Jesus is Greek 2424 in the Strong's Concordance for Yahusha. Zechariah, Greek 2197 for Zechariah. And Eliah, Greek 2243 for Eliah, or Elijah in today's English. Some are just the difference between the Hebrew and the Greek rendering, as the Greeks always changed name endings using an S, as in Zacharias, supposedly in honor of their god Zeus. Others show a definite alteration for some reason, perhaps to avoid a suspicion of being Jewish, quote-unquote, suspicion of being Jewish in this anti-Jewish society for the past 2,000 years, or perhaps from some other reason not yet understood. Regardless, they were changed. We are 13 minutes into this broadcast from What Difference Does the True Name Make in Chapter 9 of Let's Have a New Testament Witness About Messiah. Now, are we to believe that having heard the true name from Gabriel directly, rejected or avoided it and used a substitute or surrogate instead? I find that difficult. Elizabeth bears her son and has trouble conceiving that her relatives and friends, that his name is to be John. See Luke 1:59. Remember, Zechariah can't speak at that point, so they asked him to make signs. This is all happening in the temple or in the synagogue, where they took John to be circumcised the eighth day. Zechariah wrote, "His name is Yochanan." That's Luke 1:63. "His name is Yochanan." Now immediately Zechariah's mouth was loosed, and he is filled with Yahweh's Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, and he speaks. Remember, it is Yahweh's Spirit speaking through him in Luke 1:68. And some people don't believe that it's the Spirit that inspired people like Luke to write this. And, you know, they would probably doubt that there is even a Creator, or they would doubt that we didn't get here by evolution. I don't know how I said that, but they would doubt that we got here, and they would think it's evolution that brought us here. But I can tell by my mouth that's reading this here, that we didn't get here by evolution. We got here by creation. That there is a Mighty One, and that he sent his son, Yahusha, to die for our sins. He sent the Messiah. Luke 1:68. So Zechariah's mouth was loosed, and he spoke out. In verse 68, "Blessed be Yahweh, the mighty one of Yisrael, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from all our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and remember his separated covenant." To remember the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he should grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in pureness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of Yahweh to prepare his ways. He's speaking here about John, that the child shall go before, or shall be called the prophet of the highest, and shall go before the face of Yahweh to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our mighty one, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. And Luke 1:79, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's what he's doing to you and I right now. Those of us who sat in darkness and were in the shadow of death, or might be in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What a pronouncement, inspired directly by Yahweh's Spirit. Dare we believe that he would use any other name but what Yahweh inspired? Never. He spent 9 long months silenced with the thoughts of what the messenger Gabriel had told him, and I doubt that he could utter any other name but Yahweh. It means all the more when we realize that Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah was prophesying, whether he realized it or not, that John would prepare the way for Yahweh, or that rather Yochanan would prepare the way for Yahweh, of the Yahweh family, in the position of the Son, who is known to them in the Old Testament, the so-called Old Testament, and the one who would become their Savior. Thus, Yahweh, Savior, Yahusha, through his own offering for them and for us. Indeed, if this prophecy is true, and we are confident that it is, then it had to be the same Yahweh who is both the Mighty One of Yisrael. He was both the Mighty One of Yisrael and Yahusha. We could also look at 1 Corinthians 10:4, and that would be a big 10:4 there, buddy, for you to prove that Yahweh was the one, or Yahusha was the one who spoke to them in the wilderness. It was not the Father, but the Son. That Yahusha, the Messiah, spoke even face to face with Adam, and we had seen his shape, according to the book of John, to the Gospel of John. Still, with all that, is only circumstantial from what we've been reading there, and it's not total proof. So let's go to Matthew now, chapter 3, the witness of John, or the witness of Yochanan the Baptist. Matthew 3:1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Elias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh, and make his paths straight." Matthew 3. We know that the prophet Isaiah used the name Yahweh, from where this is quoted in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, or Yeshayahu 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our mighty one." Can we believe that Yochanan, who was inspired from the womb, would use Adonai? Prepare you the way of Adonai, make straight in the desert a highway for our mighty one and Elohim and all that. Would he have used Adonai or some other surrogate? Well, we have another account. Turning from Matthew 3:1 to John chapter 1. John 1:23. Now we've been through Luke, Matthew, now we're going to John. As we read on in Matthew, in Matthew 4, verses 4 to 7, 1 verse 4, we see that Yochanan baptized in the Jordan. He was nowhere near Jerusalem. He was near Jordan. His witness was entirely to the east. His witness was entirely in the wilderness of Judea and for a time in Samaria. He preached to the common people away from the authorities. He had harsh words for the Pharisees and Sadducees that did come to hear him. Yes, the Protestants of that day, the nominal churchgoers, that he had harsh words for those Pharisees. Of course, they accuse us of being the Pharisee, and we accuse them. Let's not either of us accuse either one, okay? So maybe we shouldn't say that, but I think the accusation points, the finger points right back at those who would call us Pharisaical because we keep Yahweh's word, or at least, you know, we try as best as possible. The finger points back at them for being Pharisaical even more than it would, you know, we're all Pharisaical to some extent. No one is perfect, no, not one. And no one has all the truth, but, okay, get back to the study here. We're reading in chapter 9 about a New Testament witness. From what difference does the true name make? And John, let's see, we talked about Matthew. He was nowhere near Jerusalem. His witness was in the wilderness of Judea. He preached to the common people. He had harsh words, rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see? Now we know that the pious Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees, all were very particular about uttering the name. Because of their erroneous superstition and misinterpretation of the scriptures. You know, why didn't they just look at the Psalms and take it literally? Well, this was something they picked up while in Babylon about hiding his name. They picked it up in Babylon because perhaps the Babylonians used names as omens in their mystery religions. Prior to that time, the name Yahweh was freely used. Prior to that time, it was only the Jews that put this restriction onto the use of the name of, or actually not using the name of Yahweh, and it is evident that it was still used in other areas, that Yahweh's name was used, that Father's name was used in other areas of the world. The religious center was the temple and Jerusalem. It was in control of the Sadducees and Pharisees, and they had much authority in the immediate vicinity. They were apparently allowing this authority by their Roman rulers. However, outside the immediate vicinity of Jerusalem, they seemed to have little authority. This seems evident as we examine the scriptures and see that no attempt was made to arrest Yahushua or any other until Paul set out to persecute the believers. What's that all mean? Why, simply that Yochanan the Baptist, or John, was able to preach, baptize, and even use the name Yahweh, if he chose, while in the wilderness, without interference. This is equally true of our Savior and his disciples. Can we really believe that Yochanan the Baptist would preach, "Prepare ye the way of Hashem," or "Prepare ye the way of Adonai"? I like that. That's ridiculous. Prepare you the way of the name. Now, what name? Any name? A particular name or just any name? Or, well, that's what they say. It doesn't make any difference. What difference does the name make? But he prepare you the way of Yahweh. To do so would have made his message meaningless if he had said, prepare you the way of Hashem or Adonai. In preaching a message in the name of the Lord only allows each individual to believe you are referring to his idea of Lord, but to use the name Yahweh, so meaningful to the Jews who have been deprived of hearing it. You know, the Jews weren't all bad. There were many Jews of all different persuasions, as there are today. So meaningful to the real believers, the called out ones. It would have had a real impact and authority on them. Keep in mind that John, beside preaching in the wilderness of Judea, also preached for a time in Samaria, where the name was allowed and used in Samaria. And you can see the New Bible Dictionary for that reference there. The 1962 edition, page 61. Further, while we have only negative reports about Samaria, both Yochanan the Baptist and Yahushua the Messiah preached there. Could they all have been bad there? We have no record that Yochanan the Baptist was ever accused of blasphemy, but there is no record that he ever confronted the religious leaders in Jerusalem. So this isn't proof, is it? Either way, but it does give us some circumstantial basis to think on, honestly. Now, let's talk about the witness of our Savior. With the present texts, it is not possible to prove to skeptics that our Savior ever used the name Yahweh with our present English texts. Well, if you go to these scriptures, or to the Restoration Version, or to Hezekiah's, is going to be publishing the Brit Kadashah, the New Testament, then of course that name will be restored, but it's not in the original Greek. It's Kurios and Theos and those corrupted lords and gods and Baal, and Surrogates. It's not possible to prove to skeptics that our Savior ever used the name Yahweh, but to those willing to search as the Bereans did, there's more than just food for thought. And we'll give some of the highlights here on this Yahweh website. In Luke chapter 20, when the Sadducees questioned Messiah regarding the resurrection, Yahushua Messiah answered according to Luke 20, verse 37. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called Yahweh, did he call Lord? When he called Yahweh, the mighty one of Abraham, and the mighty one of Isaac, and the mighty one of Jacob, the mighty one of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, for he is not a mighty one of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. That was Luke 20:37. That's a direct quote from Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, where the Hebrew text uses YHWH. Now are we to believe that Yahushua Messiah was afraid to quote the scriptures and that he would use the substitute surrogate, the common surrogate, the substitute of Lord? Perhaps, but also perhaps not, for then he would not be speaking with authority, as we are told, but in deference to the authorities. If he had used Lord, then he would actually be blaspheming. Again, when the lawyer came to him in Mark 12, which was the greatest commandment, the lawyer asked, our Savior answered, according to Mark 12:29. Yahushua answered, the first commandment is, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our mighty one, Yahweh is one. Or did the Messiah say, the first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our Elohim, is one. Or did he say, Hear, O Israel, Adonai, the Elohim, is one? No, he would have said, Yahweh, our mighty one, Yahweh is one. And thou shalt love Yahweh, not love the Lord, but love Yahweh, thy mighty one, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Quoting there Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, where the Hebrew Yahweh is used. I highly doubt he used Adonai, because the real impact of the quote would be lost, and also that's a corrupt word there. Can we really believe that the one whose very family name is so clearly revealed, as shown in the Old Testament, would avoid using his own name? With this in mind, let's look at this account in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 46. Also Mark 12, 35. Or Luke 20, 41. We'll look at Matthew's account. Yahushua Messiah is discussing David's psalm. David's in the Psalm 110, verse 1, where One of the versions is poorly translated. The verse in the Book of Psalms reads, Yahweh said, now we're correcting this already. It would be, the Lord said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. But it should say, Yahweh said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Here the first Lord in the Hebrew Yahweh, and the second, or excuse me, the first Lord is the Hebrew Yahweh, and the second is the Hebrew corrupt word Adonai. How confusing this verse is without understanding the correct names. Now, what did Yahushua Messiah use in quoting this scripture? Would he have said, Adonai said to my Adonai? Seems difficult to believe that he would use the corrupted Adonai and then use a surrogate name to avoid offense. It is much easier to believe that his power allowed him to use the correct names without offending or interference at that time. Well, even if it did offend, he would still use it. And we've got, we're 30 minutes into the broadcast, and I see we still have probably 15 minutes left. It might make about 45 minutes here. Once more, we see Yahushua at the beginning of his ministry in the synagogue. Let's go from Luke chapter 4, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Yahushua Messiah reads from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the evangel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yahweh, not the acceptable year of Lord Adonai, or another Babylonian name, Adonai, or Kurios, or Theos, but the acceptable year of Yahweh. Here again, there was a verse that we just quoted there from Luke 4 and Isaiah 61. That verse whose impact would be hidden by the use of a substitute surrogate name. Using the true name makes it very explicit about who is meant and leaves no room to include other deities. We have a greater witness, though, the statement of Yahushua, our Savior. Can we believe our Savior? Our salvation depends on that, on believing in the Savior. He who believes on him will have eternal life and should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yochanan 3:16. John 17, or Yochanan 17, just prior to Messiah's offering for us, the Messiah prayed to his Father. Yahushua prayed to his Father, where he says in John 17:6, this is how we started off today's chapter 9 broadcast. And Yahushua is speaking, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Did he manifest his name according to the Book of Psalms and so on? Can we believe Yahushua Messiah? Indeed, we'd better believe him. Again, in John 17, in verse 26, Yahushua said, And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, and some opponents would criticize us here in reading, in quoting the scripture, of having hate speech, or that we're speaking against some denomination. We're not. We just quoted John 17. We declared the Messiah's name. We're quoting scripture. So we have a record of our Messiah speaking to his Father. So the Messiah is speaking to his Father, saying he has told them the Father's name. And I am sure it included all that name stood for. Are we to believe that Yahushua Messiah told them all about a name that he never uttered? Hardly. The Zebach, or offering of Yahushua Messiah. There are some things that seem to be hidden in the translation of the scriptures, yet we can know then with but little research. One of the most misunderstood things in this regard is the reason for justifying the death of Yahusha among the Sanhedrin. Let's look at it. Matthew 26:63. It's also found in Mark 14:61, Luke 22:67. And we'll look at Mark 26. Or excuse me, we'll look at, and there is no Mark 20. Matthew 26:63. But Yahusha Messiah held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living mighty one, that thou tell us whether thou be the Messiah, the son of Yahweh. Yahusha Messiah said unto him, unto the high priest, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto thee, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes. He's very emotional. He rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. That's Matthew 26:65. Hereafter, Messiah said, shall you see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. What did Yahusha Messiah ever say that could be called blasphemy? The answer may well lie in a little understood word of power, English word power. Of course, we cannot prove it, but there are enough reasons to support it. In Strong's Concordance, that's the research material, the research tool here, Strong's Concordance, and you can get it from the E4 group there on the internet. And it's interactive, where you can, you know, look up a scripture like that, Matthew 26:65, and point to the word blasphemy with your cursor, with your mouse there, and click on that, and you might have to set it up a little bit, but it'll, and once you've set it up, and you click on that, it just it goes right to the Strong's Concordance and gives you a breakout from your armchair Strong's. You can also look in the Hebrew or Greek lexicon. And there's also another program called Yah's Sword, or Yah'sWord.com. And you can get the scriptures there. It's virtually free. There might be, for some, a $5 shipping charge or something if you want something. But to go directly online, it's free. Yah'sSword.com. What did Yahusha ever say that we call blasphemy? That's... See the word power here, Greek word 1411. In English, it's power. Greek word 1411 is from 1410. Force, literally or figuratively, specifically miraculous power, usually by implication a miracle itself. Now, I don't endorse everything in the Jerusalem Bible either, but and you probably know more about it than I do. But from the Jerusalem Bible, and I'm going to change where they used Yahweh to Yahweh because of our research here and the 26 references. From the Jerusalem Bible, we find in the footnotes, you, the power, is equivalent to Yahweh. At this critical moment, Yahusha abandons his policy of the messianic secret of Mark 1:34 and unequivocally acknowledges, as he had already acknowledged to his close ones, his called out ones, in Matthew 16:16, that he is Messiah. But he goes further and reveals himself not as a human Messiah of traditional expectation, but as the Mighty One. Now they put Lord, or Hebrew Adonai, the Mighty One of Psalm 110, clarify Matthew 22:41. And the mysterious personage of heavenly origin where Daniel had seen in the vision, Matthew 8:20, and beyond that, Matthew 8:20. Henceforth the Jews will not see him except in the esteem which will be manifested, first in the victory of the resurrection, and subsequently in the victory of the assembly. And also a reference here to Matthew 23:39 and 40, 23:39 and 24:40. 30. 23, 39, and 24, verse 30. This note authority feels that the word power is the same as Yahweh in the Jerusalem Bible, figuring that the word power is the same as Yahweh. Indeed, it makes sense once one realizes that it had to be something of such magnitude that it would warrant death. We're coming to the end here. We've got a couple of minutes left now. So don't quit. Okay. At any rate, it was enough to give the high priest an ironclad reason to call it blasphemy, which a claim of messiahship would not in itself have done. Again, in the footnotes of the Jerusalem Bible, under the same reference, we read, blasphemy lay not in Yahushua Messiah's claim to be the Messiah, but in his claim to divine rank. If one will make a study of the use of this Greek word, it'll become evident that this meaning of the word power is highly probable. That the word power also means Yahweh. Let the reader and the listener here on the website remember that at the beginning of this chapter 9, we quoted the often used claim that if Yahushua Messiah ever used the name Yahweh, he would have been called a blasphemer, because that crazy superstitious belief that you're not supposed to use Yahweh's name. So, Yahushua, our Savior, was impaled because he was called a blasphemer. He was called this by the high priest, as well as two other places of Matthew 26:65, and then two other places. Can you really believe he never used the proper name of his Father or of himself? So that is the end of that chapter 9. What difference does the true name make? A New Testament witness. And chapter 10, you can listen to the title, The Name in Prophecy. At this point, I did chapter 11. I made a file, but it got deleted accidentally, just as quick as that. It didn't even ask me if I wanted it. Just that was the end of it, so I'll have to possibly put that on there about what about the critics. So, what difference does the true name make? I'm Stephen Yah at YahvaYahweh.name. My email is, Stephen Yah at YahvaYahweh.name. My website is YahvaYahweh.name. And we give praise and esteem to the Almighty Father today. We thank him for the opportunity here of taking part in the ministry with the brothers and sisters and leaders out there. And we've got to read here some final words. Psalm 128, blessed is every one that feareth Yahweh, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of your hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. And then we'll also turn here to Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is great, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh of the mighty ones, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh of all, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 141. Yahweh, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Set a watch, O Yahweh, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Psalm 145:15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou gavest them their meat in due season. Verse 18, Yahweh is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Yahweh preserves all of them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall sing the praise of Yahweh, and let all flesh bless his separated name forever and ever.